And welcome to Como Explained. It's the new podcast from the KBIA Newsroom. We take the thorny issues that matter in your community and we try to break them down for you. I'm Scott Pham, the digital content director of KBIA. My co-host is Ryan Fumuliner.
Hi, Scott.
How you doing, Ryan?
I'm pretty good this week. How about you?
This week is kind of awful so far, actually. This is a really, really busy day.
It has been really busy. It's like the come down from the holiday, right? Is that you had the holiday and then you get here and you're like, oh, look at all these emails I got to get to. And then, oh, yeah, it's still an actual work day.
I feel like I did two days worth of work in one day.
Right. That's essentially what a holiday does to you when you take it. Yeah.
It's like 9 p.m., audience. We're still in the office. That's not true. But it is at the end of the day and we are rushing because we are trying to get Ryan out of the house, out of the office and into his house.
Into his house.
Yeah, into his house.
Yeah, I've got some Arrested Development to watch, so I need to get out of here.
Is that tonight?
They came out over the weekend.
Oh,
all the
really?
New episodes did. Yeah. Where have you been?
Jesus Christ. I could have been doing that instead of hanging out with you over Memorial Day
weekend. Terrible idea. We were talking about that.
No, you're right. You made a reference to it.
Yeah. So I've got to get
Sunday,
home.
And then I forgot about it. Yeah.
Well, there you go. I just planned your night for you.
Yeah. Stop listening to the podcast, everybody. Go watch Arrested Development. It's excellent. Okay. So anyways, today we are talking about bridges in Missouri. It's a topic that's kind of funny. We were planning this last week based solely on a few damning reports that kind of came out and said bridges in Missouri are awful. You need to figure out something to do with it.
Yeah, damning, that's a pun because it also had to do with dams and all kinds of other infrastructure in the state. But basically, these reports are always reflect poorly on everyone, but Missouri got a C- on this report for this plethora of different infrastructure. But bridges were one of these that has been highlighted this year and many years in the past as being something that's a big issue in Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also important to note that that America as a whole got a D+. And I don't think it's ever actually done better than a D+. It's tends to get a pretty bad grade.
It's kind of like that clock that they have, the doomsday clock, how it's always like 2 minutes from doomsday.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things where it's always going to be bad. But that said, here in Missouri, as we're talking about bridges, it's pretty clear there are some important issues that need to be looked at.
Yeah, there are definitely some important issues. A C- means mediocre, I believe, according to the American Society of Civil Engineers.
Right. And so so that was what prompted the idea. And there'd been a few other these cool interactive maps and stuff online where you could see what the bridges in your area look like, find the ones that have different inspection ratings and that kind of stuff and see what these nasty bridges look like in your area. But then, of course, over the weekend or the last few days, we've had some actual news related to bridges. So it made us seem like soothsayers, like we knew what we were doing here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We're on top of the news, you guys. Yeah, so of course, a couple of weeks ago in Washington State, there was that terrible major bridge collapse right over a river along the I-5 interstate. And then on this Saturday, I believe, there was a collapse on a more rural highway in southeast Missouri.
Yeah, and that was the one where these trains collided. It's still not really clear. Everybody's scratching their heads trying to figure out how those trains collided and what should have been a very regular routine maneuver there in that area. But that's what caused this bridge collapse. And you actually did the interview, talked to a regional MoDOT guy over the weekend. But basically, it sounds like it's not this bridge wasn't deficient here in Missouri.
I don't think it's at all related to bridge safety. It's actually kind of a freak, like diehard moment or something. I don't want to make light of it, but you've got to imagine the scene, right? You got this four-way intersection, and that these trains deal with all the time, every day, several times a day, you got to deal with this intersection. And it's generally automated, right? There's all these bells and whistles that go off that keep these trains from hitting each other. Somehow that fails. It hits another train so hard it derails, knocks out two pylons, bringing down a bridge and two cars on top of it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty incredible situation. But luckily, seven people were actually injured, but nobody died.
Right. Nobody died. And like you said, the guy from MoDOT basically said, like, look, there's nothing we could have done here. Right. I mean, this wasn't some one of these bridges, these highlighted that we're going to talk about here later on this show. But these bridges that have been highlighted with significant issues, this was something that on the from the infrastructure side, nothing we could have really done. It's more of a human error or whatever happened here.
Yeah, I don't think you could blame most bridges for coming down when being struck by a runaway train. It's bridges. I think that as a society, we're comfortable with that, that we don't really build in to withstand that kind of damage.
Yeah, okay, I'll agree with that for now. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but we're not comfortable with the state of our bridge health overall, which is kind of where we started. We didn't really mean to be going into the disaster realm of news coverage.
Right. Right. That wasn't our intent. But no, you're right. Here in Missouri, we've got it's kind of interesting because bridges are separated. We were talking mostly about bridges that are maintained by MoDOT just because those are the ones that are easiest to track. And there's a lot of really good information compiled about it. But about more than half of the bridges in the state are like local municipality ones that aren't actually maintained by MoDOT.
Right.
But for what we're going to, the purposes of today, we're going to talk a lot about MoDOT's bridges and what they've been doing to deal with that. And mostly, for the most part, these bridges are going to be like the ones we're talking about where you'll see big collapses like the one in Minneapolis a few years ago. These big collapses that can be very catastrophic. And obviously these heavily trafficked bridges, these are the ones that MoDOT is maintaining.
Right. So we got about 10,300 or so of these bridges that are on state highways. Most of those, the vast majority of these, are very small bridges that only go 100 or 200 feet, maybe only have two lanes or so. About 200 of them are major bridges that are actually crossing bodies of water.
Right. And this weekend I was driving through some rural areas, and I drove over some of these tiny bridges you're talking about. And, you know, and again, maybe 100 feet, 100-foot bridge, you're wondering, like, now they might just literally just, you know, fill in that land and not even have a bridge anymore. But yeah, these are all over the state and on these little rural state highways and stuff like that. But then you've got these big bridges, you know, kind of like the bridge near Boonville, if you're driving I-70. Like, that's one of these major bridges we're talking about, a long-length bridge with a bunch of different types of construction, that kind of stuff. So of these 10,300 bridges, we have 4,000 bridges currently that are considered deficient. So, Scott, deficient, what do we mean by deficient?
So deficient means that it is in need of repair. So that doesn't necessarily mean unsafe. There is an unsafe designation, and when that happens, the bridge is taken out of service. And this happens sometimes. Sometimes the bridge will be taken out of service, and then it will be brought up to the level that we can happily call it deficient, and then we can use it again. Thank God we have a deficient bridge.
Yeah.
But every 2 years, bridges are inspected. Is the word I'm looking for. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. They are inspected, and that's when we decide if they are deficient, fair, or in good condition. Needless to say, very few of the bridges in Missouri are in good condition. Though a good amount of them are fair.
Yeah, fair seems to be our sweet spot, right? Right there in the middle. I mentioned that number of 4,000. That's all the bridges in total, the 23,000 in the state. Of nearly 23,000.
Oh, right.
There are 2,000, just over 2,000 of them under MoDOT's care are the ones that are deficient now. And that number's actually down pretty significantly over the past 4 years or so. We'll talk more later about why that is. But yeah, only about 2,000, a little over 2,000 of the bridges are in poor condition, but then we've got 4,500 of them in fair condition, and then 3,700 in good condition. So it's skewing to the definitely fair is the biggest side. The fair, we don't have more than half good, right? We're definitely like, what is that, 37%, I guess, right? So it's almost thirds, but our third that's in the poor area has been kind of shrinking, which is nice.
Yeah, exactly. So we have this large amount of projects that needs to get done. Right now, the MoDOT can really only repair between 80 and 120 of these per year. Obviously, it would take years and years and years, decades, to get all of these projects done, not to mention the money. And we so rarely have the money.
Right, right. And yeah, so like you said, 80 to 120, but that's considering how maintenance usually goes, that's not a huge chunk. That's not going to really put a big dent in those numbers, unfortunately. And so, you know, some of these reports that also had us comparing to our peers and had us looking at like Kansas and Iowa. You know, they were all in the same range. This isn't just a Missouri problem either. This is something that every state is dealing with, and every state is dealing with tighter budgets and trying to figure out where to put their priorities, where to put their money to see what can happen, to make improvements one place or the other. But I mean, yeah, some of these roads you're talking about, I mean, there's been a few that have gotten completed, but a few that don't. I don't know if anybody who's listening has ever driven into Washington, Missouri. There's this highway Route 47 bridge going over into Washington. This thing was built in 1934. 12,000 people drive over it daily. They actually did close it, as you mentioned, back in 2007, I believe. They closed it for a while
After
a bad inspection, got it up to snuff, and they opened it back up. I've driven over this thing much more regularly than I would like to, going to visit my wife's family in the St. Louis area. It's terrifying. Every time I drive over it, I'm like this. I just feel like this thing could collapse. It's a beautiful view, don't get me wrong, but you're white knuckle the entire way across, and you just anytime you see a semi on there with you, you're just thinking, man, this could be it. Things built in 1934, and it's considered functionally obsolete. That's what they call it. They call it functionally obsolete. That's what the inspection says. That doesn't mean it's so bad that you have to close it. It meets all the minimum standards, but for me, minimum is not really where I want to be, right? I want to be well above that minimum standard.
Yeah, I mean, like right now, we're at a level where if you drive a lot, you're guaranteed to be going over deficient bridges regularly. You
know? Right. Yeah. I saw a number. It was what, like 7% of drivers are going to go over a deficient.
Yeah. 7% of all traffic, according to the American Society of Civil Engineers, 7% of all traffic is going over a deficient bridge at any given time.
Right. And so, and Missouri again does not seem to be an exception to the rule here. I'm trying to remember where we've rate. Our ratings are a little off. Not off, but they're a little skewed because of what Missouri's been doing the last few years.
Yeah, but no, I remember. Even all the same, though, we are still the 7th worst in the country.
Right.
Yeah, in terms of our bridge health.
Thanks for finding that fact for me that I couldn't quite reach in the back of my head.
It's in my brain.
Not on that sheet of paper in front of you.
Well, it's also there. But.
So yeah, there's a lot of these bridges out there. That one I was talking about near Washington, that's one of those major bridges we're talking about. But some of these minor bridges are just as dangerous. They may not affect all, you know, a number of cars there, but all, you know, I would say that if one car collapses in one of these small rural bridges, a car is on that bridge and there's, you know, a loss of life or serious injury, I'd say that's something that should be able to be prevented. Because it's, you know, you've got a database of all this information of these bridges that are deficient, right? You know which ones have problems and which ones you should get to. But regardless, we've got this glut of about 2,000 bridges in the state. And, you know, there's really no specific plan to get to all of those. And, you can debate whether it's even realistic that we'll ever get to all of those.
Yeah. So let's talk about what we've done so far. Yeah. In 2008... Missouri was pretty forward thinking about how we were going to be using the TARP money, the stimulus money that came into states everywhere as part of the Obama stimulus plan.
Yeah.
And they created what's called the Safe and Sound program, right?
So Safe and Sound, it seemed kind of ambitious at the time, right? There were the idea was to bring 800 bridges from that poor area to fair or good. Sometimes it meant just completely rebuilding these bridges, and sometimes it meant making some structural changes that would bring it up and make it safe again and bring it out of this deficient area. Okay, it was meant they were going to get to these 800 bridges in 5 years. By the end of this year, actually, was the time that they planned to have these done, MoDOT, that is. And they actually were able to get these 800 bridges complete within 3.5 years. And again, compare that to that 80 to 120 bridges they usually get to. Yeah. And part of how they were able to do this is that they just had these contractors working, going bridge to bridge. They weren't, you know, piecing out every job to a local contractor. They had this contractor, and these guys were just going around the state and literally doing 2 or 3 bridges in 2 or 3 days, every place around the state, finding the ones and strategically planning it out. It's a pretty big endeavor, and it made a big difference. They got to these 800 bridges, and that's what we're looking at. Again, we got 2,081 bridges in 2012 that were in that poor area of the MoDOT bridges. In 2008, that was 2,838 was the number that we saw. So they dropped that number by about 750. So it's pretty obvious to point to where that number improved. It was on these bridges that that were fixed through this program.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now I'm going to be a hater for a second.
Yeah.
So here's the problems with Safe and Sound, right?
Okay.
It's it only deals with the low-hanging fruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these bridges they were able to fix in like 3 days, right? And if you can fix a bridge in 3 days, it's probably not that important of a bridge.
No, you're right. It's those rural ones, right? Yeah. It's the one we're talking about. Those little ones that you drive over that are 100 feet long. It's not the bridge in Washington. That one did not get fixed.
No, it's not. So here's the other problem, that it's this is a temporary situation, right? This is a once in a blue moon that you get that amount of money coming into the state from the outside. We didn't home grow this money. It's not part of the way Missouri usually works. And when it comes down to it, yeah, we got 800 bridges built. We fixed those numbers a little bit, but we're still the seventh worst in the country. It actually – we actually got ourselves to a point of mediocrity, right? We got that C minus right now.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean it's – and it's not it's not like that number is going to stick, right? Because again, like you said, they only got to these small ones. That's another thing that really is an important point to make, because you can get to – if it's going to take you $10 million to fix that one bridge in Washington, you can do so many projects instead of just doing these big projects that are going to take you months, if not years, to get completed that may have a bigger impact, because you're talking about 12,000 people a day. Some of these bridges they got to have, you know, 100 or 200 cars a day. Maybe even fewer than that.
Yeah. So I actually talked to Kenyon Warbritton, a guy with a really awesome name.
That's a great name.
It's
I just
really
saw that. I'm
name.
Like, that guy's got to be so intelligent.
Yeah. His first name is Kenyon, and his last name has the word war in it. So he was a project director of Safe and Sound, and he told me that the problem with the Safe and Sound, as he saw it, is that we need another one. And we need another one every 3 or 4 years. About how many bridges do you think we are repairing or replacing a year?
Well, with Safe and Sound, that skewed the average for the last 3 to 4 years.
Oh, yeah, I bet it did.
Right. But typically, we may get around 80 to 120 bridges repaired or replaced in some way, shape, or form in a given year with the average construction funding that we have.
I see.
But it's important to note, out of those that system that's over 10,000 bridges, at least 100 per year out of that system grow into a poor condition just because they age into that condition.
Mm-hmm. So right now we are kind of just barely keeping up then.
Correct. We did gain some ground with the Safe and Sound program, and that's coupled with our statewide transportation plan construction that happens every year. So we barely hold our own or slightly lose ground without those external projects and focus areas.
So Safe and Sound kind of bought us a few years more than anything?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly what it did.
Yeah. How many years do you think you bought us?
Well, in 3 to 4 years, I'm sure you can see the difference, but it'd just be important to track it because we still take on preventive maintenance measures and whatever improvements we can afford to construction.
I like, yes, sir. Yes, sir, it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that bought us some time. But he hit the nail right on the head. And, you know, for somebody who works for MoDOT, sometimes they'll be a little bit more discreet than that. But it's basically like, look, and you took him there. But look, this is – we made some real progress, but we'll see if it's real, right? Without something changing, without the equation changing, the amount of funding that we get, that type of thing – it's going to be tough to maintain. You're going to go right back to that 80 to 120 number he talked about. And if as he's saying, 100 bridges every year are aging into being deficient, then you're just treading water.
Yeah, I thought that was a really kind of a crazy thing to think about, right? That this is a rapidly decaying system, right? You can't just knock out 800 and you're just 800 points ahead for the rest of time. These bridges were mostly built around the same period of time. So as they start to decay, they decay together and they decay quickly.
Right. Yeah. What? 50s and 60s, right?
50s and 60s is part of the expansion of the highway system across America. That's when most of these bridges were built.
Right. We're on the back end of it. But, you know, in 2007, 2008, we could have really been in rough shape were it not for this project, I would say, because you know, when spending gets cut across the board, it gets cut from transportation as well. It would have been easy to stop getting at some of these bridge projects.
No, it was really, really smart that we did this, and it's really important that we did this. But my concern is, I don't know, it doesn't seem to be leading into a whole approach, right?
Right, yeah. Which, how would you, I guess, is the question, right?
You need
a lot of cash. You need a lot of money to make that happen.
Yeah, let's talk about the money. Because part of the reason why like reform in transit is so difficult is because of the way it's funded.
Right.
The the state transportation agencies use a lot of federal money. And that federal money, most of that is coming from not from general funds approved by Congress, but from a trust, a financial instrument, which is built out of the 18 or so percent gas tax that is nationwide.
Right. And that, yeah, that, and that's really interesting. You found out a lot about that today in prepping for this show that, yeah, the gas tax, you know, it's really what is bringing all this money in for a lot of these major projects and direct, you know, directly funneling this money into these state budgets. I mean, there are like the bridge, the money that the state used for these bridge projects, there are other special grants and different initiatives that the federal government will also send money through. Mm-hmm. But through these direct regular channels, yeah, this gas tax really is what funds it. But we're kind of at this weird point, right, where people are actually using less gas now, or at least it's kind of stayed stagnant. And I mean, it's kind of we've talked about this and with some other editors. We went to an NPR fly-in a few weeks ago, and we were talking about this with editors from around the region that are all dealing with the same issue in their states. And basically, the thing about it is, more people are using these roads with cars that have great gas mileage, right? So you're going to get 40 miles to the gallon when you used to get 20. So you're going to pay half as much gas tax, but you're also going to be using the road twice as much. It's like an arrested development. When they took the banana and threw it in the trash and took a dollar out of the register, right? You're going both ways. All of a sudden, you made a bigger deficit than you originally had, right? I had to get an arrested development reference in there. But that's what we're doing to the roads right now is we're doubling down on the issue here that we're using the roads. We're throwing away the bananas. You got to check that math. We're throwing away the bananas, and basically we're compounding the problem because of these fuel efficient vehicles.
Yeah,
even if we are actually driving further, we're not using as much gas as we were.
Yeah, you know, the it's important too to recognize that I think the gas tax used to be a really good idea, because what it did was it kept the responsibility of doing this really kind of unsexy thing of trying to repair bridges and roads. It took that out of Congress and put it into a financial instrument, right? Because if Congress, like, you know, if they could do some cool project with that money, maybe they'd leech a little bit off. So all Congress really had to do every year was keep the general funding the same or increase it a little bit. And then because the gas tax was increasing all the time, then the overall funding would increase and hopefully take pace with the decay in the system. But that's not happening anymore. The Congress is keeping steady or reducing their funding nationally. The trust fund that holds the gas tax is decaying itself. It's going broke.
So what's the deal, Scott, with state gas taxes? Like, we have a low one compared to other states.
Yeah, we don't have the lowest, but it's nowhere near the highest. Our gas tax is 17.6 cents on the gallon. A lot of states will go up to 30, and that is the money that will be used for the state portion of the transportation. And we don't do that.
Right, and we don't do that. And obviously, tax increases are not popular ever, and especially not in Missouri currently with a Republican-led legislature. It would be tough to get something like that passed, most likely. And there hasn't been a lot of talk about increasing a gas tax.
No, it doesn't seem like a gas tax increase is on the table. But this legislative session, the Transportation Authority actually did ask the state legislature to increased taxes, right?
Yeah, they tried to do a 1 cent sales tax, and that would be for everything you buy. 1 cent on every dollar you spend would go toward this fund. That it would be a tax that would be in place for 10 years and could be renewed. Voters would have to approve it. So if the legislature would have passed this, voters would have voted on it and decided whether or not they wanted to pay this. But it would have generated an estimated $8 billion over the next 10 years. A million of that would have gone just to I-70. The rest of it would have gone to other transportation projects, would have gone to local municipals to get to some of those other 12,000 bridges we're not talking about that aren't MoDOT operated. And, of course, a lot of other projects that are probably well needed, different, local projects, some extra roundabouts here in Columbia, that kind of thing. So it would have been a ton of money, but it couldn't even get passed by the legislature, let alone voters' approval.
No. I mean, in an anti-tax state like this, that kind of blunt approach is just usually not going to work, right? Because that's probably the right number. That's probably the amount of money that will solve the problem, given the size of the problem. Because it's not just bridges, it's roads, too. Roads are decaying. And maybe we've kept a repair on those a little bit better, or at least the damage is less dramatic. But we need repair in almost every aspect of our infrastructure, except for waste removal for some reason. We do really well.
We got a B, which is basically probably like an A+ by their standards.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
That's a Missouri A.
But no, you're right. That's what we talked about this briefly on Intersection last week when we had those legislators there wrapping up the session, and basically Kurt Schaefer and Caleb Rodden were saying, well, it was too big. The Republicans saying that was too big of a tax. We couldn't put that through. That's a ton of money. And Chris Kelly was saying, it was also kind of saying it was too big. You know, we got these MoDOT guys saying this is what we need, but they're thinking like engineers, right? They're thinking this is a black and white scenario. This is how much money we need. Give us this money. Here's a way to get it to us. And Chris Kelly was kind of saying, hey, that's not sometimes you got to work the gray area when you're in Jefferson City, right? When you're at a state legislature, you got to make things work. You got to play politics a little bit and see what's realistic to make happen in those kind of atmospheres. And so that didn't happen. The other thing that's scary thing that nobody likes to talk about is toll road, possibility of a toll road on I-70. Because again, $1 billion of that $8 billion was going to go just to I-70, because that's another thing we're not even really going to get into too much today. But it's well known that's an old roadway. It's one that's aging into that area where it needs a major overhaul or just a lot of work. And so that's the other thing that's been thrown around is the possibility of a toll road. But realistically, that may just address that major roadway and not some of these other projects. I mean, $7 billion of that project, of that sales tax, was going to go to other projects. So
yeah, you know, we probably haven't really been touching I-70 much in the past few years, right? Because like compared to a rural road, to deal with I-70 is going to cost you multiple times more to repair, and then you're going to deal with that incredible amount of traffic, find some place to put it.
Yeah, you know? And it's kind of like, oh, you know, I'm not going to. I'm not going to tear that fence down over there until I need to build a new one, right? Even though it's kind of falling apart, I'm going to put in a new one next year anyway, next spring. So I'll just let it sit up for now, maybe patch a hole in it, whatever. Because I think it's obvious. I think almost everyone agrees something has to happen with I-70. There needs to be a major overhaul. And why would you spend a ton of money on a short-term plan when you know there needs to be a long-term plan, right? So that's something that's on the horizon, but nobody's got a good plan yet, and there's no real capacity for how this is going to work at the moment.
No, and we should say, too, that there's a funding crisis like we mentioned earlier, and the national level, too. And that doesn't look much better either. We're looking at, I think the ASCE estimated $3.6 trillion of repairs needed by 2020. And if we keep spending at the same rate it's going now, funding at the same rate it's going now, we are probably only getting about $1.6 trillion in the next few years. So where that money is going to come from, it's probably not going to be coming for the gas tax.
No.
So it's got to come from somewhere.
No, yeah. And that's why, I mean, I wanted to bring it up at Intersection. We only had a couple minutes at the end, but that's why I wanted to bring that up, because it seems like there's many elephants in the room in Jefferson City. That seems like one of the big ones to me, is that, look, there's a lot of infrastructure problems that need to be addressed. And for some reason, we just can't find the way to get the money. And that's really what you have to have, right? You can have all the goodwill in the world and everybody can realize it's a problem. But if you don't have the money to make it happen, it's not going to happen.
You want to leave it on that depressing note?
I seem to do that a lot. Well, everything's terrible. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the good news is here.
I mean,
We're driving over broken roads.
I mean, they've got to some of the big ones, but you can only hope that, you know, if they do find a way to get some money, whether it's through a sales tax or increasing the gas tax or a toll road, that the MoDOT people are going to use this money wisely. It seems like, as we've been saying before, they did make some smart decisions on these bridges when they could build these things. And so hopefully they'll continue. I mean, it seems like the leadership there seems to know what they're doing so far. You got a bunch of engineers, you got smart guys. So if they could be good stewards going forward, that'll help us out, because they got to be good stewards considering the the little amount of little amount of money they have to deal with. So,
all right, I'm going to end it.
All right, thanks.
Okay, well, that's going to do it for Como Explained. I want to remind you that this is our 7th episode. Right?
7. Oh, man.
7, right?
Oh, so I forgot. This is a real thing.
Yeah, we had a pact, Ryan and I, some time ago, that once we got to 7, Ryan would consider that this is a real thing and not just some little game that we do at the end of the day.
Once I heard promos and stuff, I realized, okay, this is a thing. I got obligated to do this now. So
now it's part of your job.
Now it's part of my job, so I'm going to stop having fun with it and start being bored. No, it's exciting. We made it to number 7. This officially could be a line on a resume or something someday. So, hey,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, high five.
Thanks for, forcing me.
Boom. Nice.
Not bad.
Okay. Well, so we're Como Explained. Find us on the iTunes store. We're also on SoundCloud. KBIA.org is the main home for Como Explained. Tweet us at KBIA. Send us email to news@KBIA.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Scott Pham.
I'm Ryan Mueliner.
All right, see you next time.